Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
That's where. Oh, there it is. Hey, Robert.
I mean, there it is. There it is. Once that little red light, flashing light comes up, it's showtime, Adam. This is an emergency podcast episode, if I shall.
Well, I mean, we just recorded one, or not just, a couple days ago, and for almost 2 hours, and almost all of it's irrelevant at this point with the news that's coming out at a feverish pitch. So you're exactly right, and I think a little 30-minute or so to update some of the news was very much necessary and very much felt right, Robert.
Yes, and so you sent me a message saying that is that episode, that long episode that had that it needed some edits, that last episode.
Oh yes,
no internet question. Went out. We rambled at the beginning for 11 minutes about stuff that should not be published. No. But so that's not out yet. So well, how about that? Yeah, all of it's pretty irrelevant anyways, but if you like listening to our voices for 2 hours, you should listen to it.
And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. There was some, don't mention, also mention the 11 minutes at the end of ridiculous rambling that should not be posted. So probably 25 minutes maybe we should start putting some of that stuff out there, because once that red live button, well, we know it can get edited, and sometimes we have some choice words when we know it's going to get edited. So
yeah, you put the filter, you know, the filter's gone once you know the editing is possible.
You can say whatever you want, Robert.
So obviously, I don't know, probably the biggest news of the year in pickleball and pro pickleball anyways, with MLP announcing that they are merging with the brand new Vibe Pickleball League.
The week long.
The week long. Hey, long enough to print hoodies.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Collector's item. That makes it a business.
That's right.
You got hoodies. You're a startup, so you're good. Yeah. Short run, but or maybe the greatest run in business history of just announcing a league and a business and saying that players submitted their names for this league and business and then merging. Quite quickly.
Mark Cuban, he's a shark, man. He just pops in the scene and all of a sudden we're merging and everything's moving forward. So
they're like, let's just scare them, put out this league, show that we've got the players, make the branding pretty questionable, but like trendy and cheesy and a little fun maybe, and let's just see what MLP does. Maybe we'll want to work together.
And here we are.
Yeah, so it's been pretty crazy. To be honest, I did not see this coming. I think we talked about this, the only way, and I in the last episode I did say MLP was in danger because of what we saw with like the Discovery Warriors and Discovery Land Company, Mike Melman jumping ship and going to putting his, you know, pickleball allocated venture funds into the PPA. And what happened here, it seems, is that the ownership groups in MLP were like, this is ridiculous. They're starting a new league. It's ridiculous in the sense that we're not all doing this together with Cuban and whoever they're having come on board, which what I hear is like LeBron level names also. Sure. So it seems like, you know, the Steve Kuhn, Tom Dundon kind of feud, if you will, or, you know, not seeing eye to eye on pretty much anything, was bypassed by, you know, basically, the ownership groups coming together and saying, hey, this makes no sense. Let's just do this all together and create a monster. So that's what's happened. Didn't see it coming, I'll tell you that. But really excited that it is happening, because, you know, we've had a lot of questions, both you and I, Adam, about, we've received questions about, is this good for the sport? What does this mean? All that stuff. And, you know, before this, merger, it was like, and Vibe was created. It's just like, you know, it's just one more chip off the block to make it more fragmented. And now that block's, you know, actually come back together and gotten smaller and the sport's less fragmented, which, you know, is a huge, huge net positive for the sport.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously the heavy hitters, team owners, you know, they obviously Steve Kuhn and Tom Dundon, major heavy hitters in the sport, obviously, but these celebrities and these team owners have a lot of pull as well. They basically said they didn't want to have a hybrid team event with a regular tournament, kind of what MLP was thinking about. That got squashed. They have these two, another league pop up that's competing, all these big names competing against each other. They don't like that. And sure enough, you know, a week or whatever, a few days later, we have a merger. So lots of heavy hitters, lots of people with a lot of influence. And, you know, if someone with a platform like these guys have says something, everyone needs to listen. And apparently they have.
Yeah. And I believe there's not a ton of details that were released, right? So the one thing that we do know is that it's going to be operated under the Major League Pickleball brand, which thank goodness, because I think Vibe was going to ruin the word vibe, right?
Like it's a vibes, great word. Vibe's too good of a vibe.
Vibe's too good of a word to just have it squashed by a pickleball league. So I'm glad we got our word back.
Uh-huh. And you're right, Rob. Not a lot has been said about the merger, but it looks like there's going to be 24 teams, which yep. Robert is a lot of teams. That's 96 total players if we have a four per team, and 120 players if we have a possible alternate for each team. So yeah, that's wild.
I highly doubt they'll do that alternate per team with the five players per team.
I agree.
But at regardless, 96 players is a lot. I think it's great because the way this is you know, speculation in some sense, but it's also what I'm understanding is how it's probably going to play out is there's going to be two divisions, 12 teams mm-hmm. each, and it's going to be similar to, I'm not super dialed in with the soccer in Europe, but I do know that they have different tiers, top tiers, bottom tiers in certain leagues, and teams get relegated based on their performance. So let's call it, you know, the top or the bottom two, you know, the 11, 12 teams in the top division will get dropped down to the bottom division. The top two will bounce up from the bottom division to the top division, which that stuff's fun because that means even if you're in that bottom half of the top league or the top half of the bottom league, you have a lot to play for throughout the entire year, right? Like mm-hmm. if you're in that 9, 10, 11, 12 spot in the top division, you don't want to go to the bottom division. You want to keep at the top division and fighting for the real crown. So I think all that will be super interesting. I don't know how they're going to divide I don't know if they're going to use a snake draft where you have, you know, 1 in 48 on the same team, that kind of thing, like they have been doing. Because what that does, it does kind of, you know, all the teams won't be super evenly distributed based on the talent gap. But at the same time, I don't know how you do it. And then like how you decide who's in the top league and the bottom league from the get-go without right. having some results, if that makes sense. So it'll be curious to see what the details come out in terms of how these teams are formulated, whether it's a draft, whether it's a snake draft, what that looks like. What I do know is that even the league is trying to iron out all these details. This came together really, really fast, apparently. And the draft was supposed to happen for MLP beginning to mid-December, which, you know, that's only a month away. And it sounds like that timeline is going to stay the same. And the dates for MLP are going to stay the same for next year, six events. So there's a lot that needs to be ironed out really, really fast. And, you know, it scares me a little bit because it's going to feel rushed because it is rushed because it has to be at this point. Net positive for the sport as a whole, but how good this product will be with how fast this merger's come together will be interesting to see. Like MLP already had their plans. They had their process and formula laid out. I mean, we're throwing a lot more players into the mix, so it'll be interesting to see how much changes basically.
Yeah, you're right. And that's very much, just to reiterate what you said, very much what happened is they decided to come to there wasn't a lot of planning or infrastructure or whatever laid out about what was going to happen. And then they merged. It was a merge and then we're going to figure it out kind of situation is how I understand it. So you're exactly right. If that timeline is staying on for not only the tournaments, but obviously the draft being a huge deal. A lot is going to happen in the next month or month and a week, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever the case may be. So that's obviously going to be interesting moving forward. And Robert, a little tidbit here. So I went through the world global rankings, and obviously some people are slotted where they should be and some very much are not. But just a few names that jump out as you know, 48 players in each gender would make you think it's pretty thin, but there's actually some pretty strong names on both the men's and the women's side as you get deeper into those rankings. So just a few names from the 40 plus on the guys. Like I said, a lot of these guys on this list probably should be ranked higher, whether that's volume or whatever the case may be in the rankings. But we have – go ahead.
I was just going to say Duper's probably a better indicator here of
right,
top
for sure.
48, just because the World Pickleball Rankings based on tournaments played and points earned.
Sure, and I think you're exactly right. But
let's hear some of these names.
Yeah, I just kind of skimmed it to check out it. And obviously, and I went through the 1 through 40, and there's only a handful of people that I probably wouldn't have slotted there. So I think that these are not accurate, but give a good indicator of some of the talent deeper in the pool. So we have Rettenmeyer, Pablo Tellez, Scarpa, Dow, yourself, Robert Nunnery, James Ignatowicz, Ben Newell, Hunter Johnson, Yates Johnson, Daniel De La Rosa, Brandon French, Todd Fott, Wes Burrows, Connor Garnett. That's all 40 plus on the guys.
All good players.
Right. And then I obviously the women is a little more shallow than the men. We've talked about it plenty. You can see from the size of the draws and whatever. Yeah. So I did 30 plus for the women, and just a handful of names that were at ranked 30 plus were Becky Ryan, Megan Fudge, Lindsay Newman, Alex Trong, Maggie Brasha, Lena Pedega Mayate, Yana Newell, Millie Rain, Martina Coakley, Sierra, Olivia McMillan, Rachel Regger, Meg Charity, and Lacey Schneeman. So I obviously missed a few, but these are some players that can play. It's not like, you know, there's a 5-0 non-pro player that's going to be slipped into this draft. So where it might be a little bit thin, I think it's going to be the player pool's a little deeper than some people think.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't change that much, actually, in terms of, you know, sliding in the PPA players on top of the MLP players, because MLP was going to go to 16 teams, 32 players. So what we were going to get at the bottom of that MLP list with the 32 is probably the exact same, you know, just slotting in the PPA players as well. So nothing really changes in terms of how deep we're going in terms of player pool. So I think you're exactly right. We're going to, I mean, with all the players coming in, there's, in my opinion, especially to fill out two divisions, top division and bottom division, there's plenty of talent to make it a really, really fantastic product. And I think it's going to be the best showcase for pro pickleball. And I've said it from the beginning. I wish pro pickleball was purely a team event year round, because I think it's the best viewing experience. And to have a regular season, then to go into the playoffs like a normal pro sports league would be really, really sick. But we're not there yet. I don't know if we'll go that direction or route ever. People like tours, so we'll see. But I think this is a huge step in the right direction, and I think the talent's plenty deep to make it a fantastic product.
Yeah, I agree completely, Robert. And just saying, just throwing this out there for any, you know, team owners or anyone behind the scenes, I have recently retired from playing pickleball, and I think that a team coach / GM for these teams is going to be something that happens moving forward. So I'm just kind of throwing it out there, my name for a possible one of those roles. I've already had a couple pro players come to me about some possible coaching, and to coach a team and possibly make some personnel decisions being around the sport for so long, just throwing it out there. Anyone wants to give me a shout or hit me up about something along those lines, you guys just feel free to do it. All right.
To be honest, I couldn't actually, and I'm being dead serious. I probably couldn't imagine a more qualified GM or a coach.
There it is.
Right. I mean, who else, especially somebody that's not playing anymore, that's fresh enough to understand all the nuances and the players and how the game's evolving. You'd be my number one choice.
All right, Robert. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate
it. You heard it
that.
Here, folks. You heard it here. Every MLP owner listening, Adam Stone should be the hottest commodity in pro pickleball.
I love that. And see, the thing is I really am kind of a unicorn in this moment, Robert. There's a couple other players that are similar that have played pro pickleball, but I'm not sure that there is anyone that has played, you know, reasonably close to the top of the game and has retired. Everyone that qualifies that for that, they're still playing. So it's kind of a unique situation where there's really only a couple or a few pro players that have lived it and breathed it and now are not continuing to play. So, hey, just throwing it out there. Like I said, give me a shout. Let me know. Let's make something happen.
Adam the Unicorn Stone.
Adam, yes, I like that. That's right. That's good
stuff. I don't know. Shelton might want to fight you on that.
Shelton is the true unicorn. We all know that. And we love that nickname. And shout out to Shelton. Hope you're doing well, buddy.
The only other thing that I was thinking in terms of how, like, just talking about how deep the player pool is going to be, like with 96 players, like we were talking about it already, Adam, in terms of when Vibe was going to be their own league versus MLP. MLP was still going to have, what was it, 64 players?
Correct, yes.
And we were talking about, okay, well, player payouts, they've got a lot of money. They got big-name investors, big-name team owners. But that's a lot of people to pay. And on the PPA side or the Vibe side, you know, I think they were going to have, what, six teams with five, like four players each, but with an alternate, so call it five, 30 players, so half the players. So they were selling the teams for more, is my understanding. You know, I heard 3 million, 5 million thrown around. Don't know how accurate that was, speculation maybe. But regardless, there's going to be a lot more, there's going to be more money for a smaller pool of players on that Vibe side. And now we're looking at, combined leagues, but there's a lot of people that need to get paid. You know, we got 96 players. So I will be really curious to see what it looks like in terms of player payouts. And this, it's an interesting, like looking at pro pickleball as a whole now, the landscape. So when PPA announced their team events earlier this year, and I think they announced something at Mandalay Bay, MGM, that kind of thing, MLP responded with a quick affiliation with APP. Nobody really knew what that meant at the time. And or even now, to be honest, like it was more of like a knee jerk reaction of, okay, well, if you're going to do team events, we're going to partner with the APP and try to crush you, that kind of thing. I don't think that alliance was ever super strong or they did any real things together. But this puts the APP tour in a very tight spot, in my opinion. You have what I think most consider two of the strongest brands in pro pickleball, the PPA Tour and Major League Pickleball, combining forces, and APP is kind of the outsider here. And for a lot of players, I know the reason that they didn't sign PPA contracts was so that they could still play MLP. Now that that's not an issue, they can play MLP regardless. You know, there might be some players that are going to chase money on the APP tour, depending on what their purse is next year. I'm assuming it's going to be pretty good. But I think if the PPA tries to sign more players to exclusive contracts, I think players are going to be much more receptive to that because MLP is now part of it. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with the APP tour in this upcoming year.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yes, I think it very much was a little, like you said, knee-jerk reaction. And I think it was more of a friendship than an actual relationship. I don't think that there was a lot of things tied in together between MLP and APP when they made that announcement. So, yeah, it seems to be a third wheel situation right now with that obvious. Yeah, and I don't know exactly. Yeah, I mean it's a really dicey situation because I think you're right, Rob. I know for a fact that there were several people that was the deciding factor was the MLP part of it to, you know, possibly not sign that contract with PPA. So now that is not an issue and it's a very big factor. I think that could definitely be an issue for the APP moving forward. I know they just announced a Champions League, kind of going deeper into the senior pro landscape, and kind of you know, always been more of the this past year, the senior pro and the amateurs seem to have better feedback from them, the APP, than the PPA. So yeah, I think it's a situation where there, you know, there's a decent amount of mouths to feed, and APP could be on the back burner, and I think probably is right now in this exact moment. So
yeah, I mean, what an opportunity for the senior pros to hop in and just take that Champions Tour by their reins, you know? Guys, go for it. That's your tour.
Hey Rob, this is what I set you up to say something inappropriate about the seniors. If you like to do that, so I can get cornered at tournaments moving forward. But, the senior pros,
but yeah. honestly, just thinking about this a little further, it just came to me as you were talking. I'd have to imagine there's going to be some incentive to play PPA tournaments for these MLP players now that they're tied together, right? Like, if you get drafted to an MLP team, they're going to want you playing PPA tournaments, whether it's, mm-hmm. whether it's signing an exclusive contract or whether it's creating some kind of financial incentive to play PPA tournaments. Why would they not? Right. It's like, okay, well, you're an MLP player. We're tied together now with the PPA. Yeah. You get whatever, you get free entry and a little appearance for playing this for this PPA. If you play 10, you get this. If you play 15 PPAs, you get this. I could absolutely see that happening. And I think we will see it happen. I don't know that for a fact, but I think it makes a lot of sense, because if you've got 48 men and 48 women playing MLP, you can own the pro pickleball landscape if you're the PPA by shutting those people out from APP by just providing enough incentive to play the PPAs.
Yeah. And it really is, it's a lot of money, Rob. If you think about it, I believe this last year of MLP, if you were the last draft pick and you didn't win any matches, I believe the minimum was $3,250 that you were receiving per tournament.
Yeah,
and obviously there's bigger payouts and a champion that got 25,000 each for the four players. So, I mean, we'll just say $6,000 was the average payout for everyone. Maybe we can even go less than 5,000. I mean, with 96 players, I mean, that's $500,000 per tournament right there, just in paying the players out, six events, $3 million, somewhere between $3 and $4 million with the payouts, and maybe more than that. Given, you know, some of the deals or situations that I don't know about. So this is some serious money, some real money over the course of a year, not to mention plenty of other expenses and stuff. So
it's serious money, but it's also, just thinking about it, is it serious money? Like, I know it's more than other tournaments in terms of like,
right.
what
it's all relative. You're right.
It's all relative. Cause I mean, if you're an outsider in pro pickleball, you don't know really the landscape or what's happening, and you see LeBron, Tom Brady, Kevin Durant, all these people coming in and buying ownership into this league and buying teams. I think if you look at, like, you know, if you also dig, if you're that same person seeing all this happen, that's an outsider, and then you see kind of like what players are making, you're going to be like, oh, like these gigantic, you know, gigantic stars bought these teams, and these players, you know, on the year might walk away with, call it 15K from the whole season. Like, I think they would be like, oh, whoa, like they make nothing. You know what I mean?
No, and I think
they got to pay their expenses on top of that. So they probably really make nothing.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean? So it's
15 is probably low, but not much lower.
Well, three events last year, you know, somebody could have made 10, you know, if they came
in bottom
of the barrel every time.
Yeah. So, no, you're right. It's all relative. So you think of some of the money, some of the numbers that I just kind of pulled out of, you know, a hat, and you compare that to whatever it was a year or two ago or something like that. It's obviously huge, but you have to, you know, take it with a grain of salt and know what's actually happening around all that. And, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not as much as it seems, even though it is more than what it was. Yeah.
And again, like, you know, we're combined. Now we have 24 teams. Yeah. Like, so we have more players, but we have 24 teams. That means we've got what, eight new owners that still need to be announced, or mm-hmm. seven after Cuban.
Yes, yeah, so something like that, right?
Who knows what those buy-ins might be? Maybe it is at that 3 million mark. You know, if, let's say it is. You're putting 20 mil into the coffer, right? Into the war chest. Like mm-hmm. you're stacked. You've got some runway. You've got some runway to do big things. And it'll be, and with that, like, you have more money to pay out to the players. Hopefully they go that route and that happens. But what we will see also with the PPA is, I think we'll have some tennis players coming over and being a part of MLP, even though maybe they haven't earned that spot yet. Right. But I think we might see it. The Queries, the Rubens, the whoever else might come in. But I'd be shocked if they weren't, you know, at least on a tier two Major League Pickleball team.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's all about those value picks. You know, that's really where, you know, a lot of this stuff is won. It's not necessarily your first, whatever, the first 5 or 10 people selected. A lot of what you saw with MLP was like, Paris is a steal, or someone that's deeper in the pool. So I'm just saying, if you have some of these tennis players that are very talented but don't have a body of work to really be ranked highly or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to try to get one of those players, or are you going to get someone, even though I'm not in the draft, someone like me who has been around forever, lacks upside, has, you know, very solid results on his resume, but is someone like me going to push these teams over the top? Are they going to take shots on a younger, more athletic, more upside type player? And I think a lot of the times the pick is going to be not me. Or someone like me. So it's very interesting. And I mean, we say this too much, but I mean, only time will tell. I mean, you see these things are firing off. It's not every week, it's every day. Yeah. So, go ahead.
No, just in terms of how things might shake out too. Like, will the format? I'm assuming the MLP format will stay the same. You know, mm-hmm. we'll have the four players. We'll have the Dream Breaker. I'm assuming. I do know that the PPA and Tom Dundon didn't really take to rally scoring. So that'll be an interesting one.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what the give and takes were in terms of making this deal come together.
Yeah, so, you're exactly right. Is it, you know, 80% staying with MLP and, you know, the Vibe or PPA has a little bit of leverage? Is it closer to 50-50? Like, who's going to be making the decisions on a lot of things? And I don't know. Kind of from the announcement, it would lead me to believe that MLP will be more of that, you know, whatever that group, Ann and Brooks and Steve, you know, will probably still be making most of the decisions with input from Vibe PPA, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll just have to see.
I'm pretty sure MLP will still be operating the events.
Right.
I know PPA is putting on bigger and better events, you know, each time they go out. So I think their focus is probably going to be on that, and they'll let MLP kind of take the reins in terms of the operation side of the league stuff. But man, I can't reiterate. It's super exciting. It's great to see the sport, like organizations in the sport, come together. Just got a little bit less fragmented, and I think it's a huge step in the right direction for pro pickleball.
Yeah, you're so true. And it's going to be nice to see, you know, how it was this past year. It was just one tournament out of 10 that everyone would be together, you know, like all the players, or a lot of the two tours players would be playing the same tournament. And, you know, those are, I always talk about that small sample size, and it just, you don't really get enough information. It's fun to see that. But if we have them together for a lot of tournaments, multiple tournaments, whether it's PPA or it's all the MLPs, whatever the case may be, it's just better to see some of those rivalries and some of those, you know, up and coming players challenging the top guys, but consistently, instead of just once a blue moon. And I think that's just better viewing for everybody for the sport.
No, 100%. It'll be, I mean, to be honest, just even as like a casual viewer, not a casual viewer, I watch a lot. So just as a heavy viewer,
<You too.
laughs> I was surprised by the J-Dub Dylan jump, but I was also like, okay, sick. Like, we'll see more of them against, you know, some of the top guys. So I was pumped to see that. And I'm sure with this announcement, the whole pro pickleball world and viewers have to be stoked, right? Because it's a net positive to be able to see all the players at the same spot playing each other. It's going to be insane next year.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, yeah, excitement for sure. And I don't know, Rob, I think maybe you have anything else to add on this big merger.
Emergency podcast complete. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, you got to have an emergency in your back pocket every now and then when things change by the hour. So, yeah, I think that was good to just chat a little bit about the stuff. And I'm sure by the end of this weekend, we'll have a little bit more to discuss next week. But yes, this felt right for an emergency episode. And thank you for just rearranging your schedule and making this happen, Robert. You're a champion.
I'm here to serve.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Adios.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.